You ever notice how your mind always defaults to the negative? Well, here's why. Welcome to Sobriety Snippets for Women Over 40, where we elevate our mindset and trade hangovers for higher consciousness, one powerful snippet at a time. I'm Becca Jacobson, and today is a red letter day. I love that expression. What does it mean? It's a special day. That's what it means. Today is really got me feeling kind of emotional. On March 11th, 2023, I decided to do a podcast, and I turned on a microphone. It wasn't this one. I have a much better microphone now than I did back then. And I turned on what I had. I didn't invest. And I made a little snippet. Oh, gals, there's a backstory on there. We've now reached 3 years and over 600 episodes. And I thought, well, I could talk a lot about that journey and what it's meant for me, but I have been, and I will next week, this month. That's key. It's important. But instead, I wanted to give you some really important information today about why your mind defaults to negative thinking, why, especially in early sobriety, this happens even more strongly, and what to do about it. And the reason I want to use the time for that instead is because that's what we do here in Snippet Land. It's all about elevating our mindset. I said that at the beginning, right? Where we elevate our mindset to trade hangovers for higher consciousness. It's about how we think. It's all about that. And of course, as you know, if you've been around here a while, I always say this is not an alcohol journey, but an emotional one. And of course, what we're thinking creates our emotions. So the two are tied together. So when I say elevate our mindset, I mean elevate your mood, elevate your emotions, because the two go together. You can't be thinking beautiful thoughts and feel murderous. You're going to feel good, right? Okay. Let's talk about why it's so much easier to think negative than positive. And it is. And by the way, it's built in. It's natural. It's not you. It's not me. It's not something that society did to us. It's how we're built. If we were not on guard for dangerous environments, our ancestors would not have survived. Our brain is wired to look for problems. Now, that's great when you're running away from saber-toothed tigers. It's not great for us today, but it is why we default to negative. What's going on? What could go wrong? What threat might I be missing? What's going to happen tomorrow? What's possible, right? All the time, worrying about the future, regretting the past. This is natural. It is, but it is not healthy, and it ain't going to make us happy, gals, and is not going to make us happy. Negative thinking kept our ancestors alive, but we have to recognize that and do something about it. And that's why books are written on positive thinking. It's why people take up journaling practices and meditation and all sorts of things to think more positive. It's why we hear all the time, well, think positive, because it takes an effort. No one's ever had to say to you, I really think you should think more carefully about what could go wrong. Are you analyzing all the problems in your life? Have you thought carefully about what's happening that could be dangerous? No, we just do it automatically. We're always looking for problems. Nobody's written a book on how to think negative, right? So we have to make a conscious effort to think positive. And I think some of us get a little sick of it. We definitely get sick of hearing, think positive, blah, blah, blah. In fact, it's got a bad rap, doesn't it? Someone says, think positive, and people roll their eyes. But honestly, it's the key to freedom. Not only that, but get this, gals, our brains actually process negative signals faster than positive ones. The brain's threat detection system, especially the amygdala, reacts very quickly. So negative stimuli, such as criticism, rejection, danger, loss, very quickly activate the brain to keep us safe and out of trouble. In other words, bad news hits the brain like Velcro. It sticks there and it's there. Whereas good news slides off the brain like Teflon. It's just in and out, gone. 1 minute you're thinking a nice positive thought, you make a decision to do an affirmation. How long does it last? All of 20 seconds, and you're back to the Velcro-y icky bad news, right? This is natural. This is natural, but it's good news because if we know this, then we can understand what's going on. To be optimistic or constructive takes energy and intention. It requires reflection, reframing. It requires us to use our imagination. It requires us to be disciplined. In other words, it's a skill, not an automatic reflex. I think that's the best way to look at this. Thinking negatively is automatic. Thinking positively is a skill that we must acquire. I know it's not great news. I mean, it is and it isn't. It's not great news because, oh no, now I got a job of work in front of me. Yeah, but at least we realize that it's not something wrong with us. You're not walking around looking for danger because there's something wrong with you. It's how we're built. Successful, happy people have trained themselves to look for the positive. It didn't just happen to them. And that means we can do it too. Our brain has evolved to solve problems, not to feel happy. It's not the brain's job to make you feel happy. The brain's job is to remember what happened yesterday, remind us of it so we don't do it again, and show us what's broken, what's missing, what could fail, what could go wrong. That's the brain's job. It's a recording machine to keep us safe. Not happy. Oh, hello, this is a problem, right? But we have a brain and we can guide it. We can train it. This is the beautiful thing about the brain. It's plasticity, right? It can be trained. Even our emotional memory favors the negative. Have you ever noticed this? One harsh comment from someone can outweigh 10 compliments. Like for sure, right? One failure overshadows many successes. When I was teaching at the college, every year we did student evaluations. The college would do them, right? We would give the students the evaluation sheets in the classroom and the instructor would have to leave the room so that they could do them openly, honestly, and anonymously. And then when those were done, I would get a package from HR. Here are your evaluations for the last year from all of my students and I can sit and read through them. Well, honestly, I would get like 50 amazing evaluations telling me how wonderful I am, and one disgruntled student in there tells me I'm an asshole, and that's all I can think of. Right? It's just, oh my God, somebody didn't like me. Oh no, did you hear what that one person said? All the compliments in the world just slide right off your back, like water off the old duck's back, right? This is so normal. As I said, one harsh comment can outweigh 10 compliments. I know you've experienced this too. Why? Because it's natural. Emotional memory favors the negative to keep us safe. Gals, all of this is both good and bad news, isn't it? You know now that there's nothing wrong with you, and you know at the same time, oh no, it's going to take effort to change this. But it's what we do here. This is what Snippet Land is all about. And by the way, I realize I'm several minutes in and probably over halfway through a snippet, but I want to welcome you. If you're new here in Snippet Land and you're an over 40 woman struggling with alcohol, this is where you belong, my dear. This is where we keep the proverbial home fires burning for women just like you. And I'm very glad you're here. And for all of you lovely, lovely, regular snippet lovers, thank you for coming back time and time again. It's what keeps me going. All right, let's look at what we can do about this. Well, one thing you can do is keep getting your snippets. I've decided a long time ago, that's what I'm doing here. I'm here to remind you about this, because your mind will slip back into the negative. I'm here to remind you that you want to raise your consciousness. You want to raise your general mood from negative to positive, and that it's going to take an effort. I'm here to help you do that. That's what we do here in Snippet Land, because that is the journey to happy sobriety. It's not about the alcohol. Now, having said all of that, here is the role that alcohol plays in all of this, because it does have an effect. So we agree that the mind is automatically and naturally leans toward the negative. But what does alcohol do? Okay, well, guess what, gals? It makes it worse. I'm sure you're not surprised, but here's why. When we drink, the brain's alarm system gets quieter. The thinking mind slows down, the body relaxes, the inner critic softens. And in other words, when we drink, it's like, oh, finally. Relief from this negative alarm system always going off in the mind. the negativity, the anxiety, that the brain is on guard, on guard, on guard. And when we drink, it gives us the relief we want. That's great. It happens to all people. Those of us who drink to excess and uncontrollably, this causes a huge problem because the brain adapts to this and becomes more negative, more anxious. It fights back. When we add alcohol into the mix, the brain realizes, oh, she's artificially calming me. I have to fight back. And that's why when we don't drink, like the first day, the second day, the first week, the second week, the early sobriety, we feel like a lunatic. The mind is triple the anxiety, triple the negativity. We're restless, we're anxious, agitated, self-critical. All of these things is the mind saying, look, if you're going to keep dousing me with alcohol, I'm going to get more anxious to keep you safe. This is called neuroadaptation. In other words, the brain is plastic, right? It adjusts. So our mind says, this person just keeps drinking, calming me artificially. So to fight back, I'm going to be more critical, more negative, more anxious. Isn't that mind-blowing? This is why early sobriety is so, oh, so painful. We think we've lost our minds. I think I'm a very anxious person. You don't know how anxious I am, Becca. And I'm like, no, you just are in early sobriety. And hey, by the way, gals, stick around to the end because the moral of this story, this has a happy, happy ending. And I'm getting there. I'm getting there. But early sobriety feels very loud, very mentally loud. We have lowered our natural calming signals. We have heightened our stress response. We experience things like racing thoughts, irritability, emotional swings, negative thinking loops. And then we think, you know what? Sobriety makes me miserable. I don't want to do this. We've white-knuckled it through a few days or a few weeks, and it takes a while for this to settle. And we think, you know what? Sobriety sucks. I'm just not interested. I don't want to live like this. I'd rather have a drink. And that's what kept me drinking until I was 52. I didn't let enough time elapse in sobriety to experience the brain readjusting itself. All I experienced was a hyper, hyper negative mind because my brain had adjusted itself to all the alcohol was pouring in there on a regular basis. And so it was saying, hey, I got to fight back by getting super, super alert to the negative here. Well, when you stop drinking, the mind's going to take a while to adjust. That's all that's happening. But when we're in it, it just feels like I can't do this. This is horrible. And so I would get into early sobriety and fail, get into early sobriety and fail. And get into early sobriety and fail. And on the story goes. That's why it takes support and intention in early sobriety. You need someone there to remind you, this is not going to last. You're doing the right work. We don't just not drink and hold on tight, the proverbial white knuckling it. We come into early sobriety. We start doing gentle work that helps the mind settle more quickly. We want the mind to get back to homeostasis, which is natural. It really will when you stop giving it alcohol. And when we just don't drink, it takes a long time because we get caught up in those loops, caught up in anxiety and emotional swings and irritability. And we believe the voice in our head that says, sobriety makes me miserable. And we just keep failing. We give up. When we are properly supported and doing work, not work. I don't like the word work. It's not work. It's guiding ourselves to a happier, healthier life. It's emotional growth is what it is. And when we're doing that and we're guided and we're doing it properly, we can recognize and be reminded, my brain is just recalibrating. It's okay. I'm not losing my mind. Sobriety is not making me miserable. I'm just recalibrating. And then, my dears, what happens? Here's the moral of the story, or as I better yet, here's the happy ending. Once the brain recalibrates and we've been doing the work. So what do I mean by work? We're journaling, we're doing meditation, we're doing gratitude practice, we're looking after the body, we're growing emotionally, we're working through our negative emotional loops. At the end of this, we end up with a calmer mind than someone who hasn't gone through it. Right? Did you catch that? Right now, I'm in the middle of a free live event that is all based on my best chapter, making this the gals who are in there with me. That's what we're doing. I'm going to help them start to build the best chapter of their lives. That's the theme this month. Well, what happens is when we come through sobriety and we get through those difficult early stages, at the end of it, we've done the emotional growth, we suddenly realize one day, oh, my mind is actually quieter than it used to be. So remember what we said at the beginning, the mind is naturally negative. The mind is naturally looking for threats. When we do this emotional journey that I take women on, at the end of it, your mind is quieter than it was before you started using alcohol. That's the happy ending to this story. The journey to emotional growth here in sobriety, the journey ends up giving us a happier, calmer, more peaceful life than we would have had if we hadn't gone through it in the first place, because we've been forced to do emotional growth that most people never, ever do. They don't have to. What this means for us, gals, is again, the journey. We can make this by far and away the best chapter of our lives because we do this journey, and at the end of it, we are better off than someone who never struggled with alcohol. Our mind doesn't default to negative anymore because we've trained it. That's what I help women do. Train their minds not to fall into the natural negativity that we were born with. And it is a beautiful thing. And that's why this ends up the best chapter of our lives. Let's say you were not abusing alcohol in your 30s, and then it elevated and escalated into your 40s, and you started abusing alcohol in your 40s, and let's say by your 50s, you're like, I got to get sober. You're going to feel better than you did in your 30s because you're doing this emotional work. That's why this is the best chapter of your life. I'm not just making it up, my dear. There's the method to my madness. I am so glad you're here. If you're with me in Snippetland Live this week, I'll see you a bit later. If you're not, it's not actually too late to join us, gals. You can go to the show notes, grab the link there, and you can join us. Everything I've done this week has been recorded, so why not join us now? I'll see you there. Thanks for popping in. Be sure to come back next time so I can keep your head on straight. Sending you buckets of love.